This morning, I want you to remember as I focus our direction on, you know, going through a basic series of scripture where that we'll know what's going on in the real world and how God applies His word to the real world. Right now, you and I are in this world. We're called to be in this world, and we're called to be in this world at this particular time in history. That means there's a purpose for us in this world. Many are searching and searching and says, I see no purpose in my life. Well, maybe you're searching in the wrong places. Maybe that you need to focus more inwardly and then giving your heart to Christ and asking, God, what do you want me to do? God will let you know, but He will let you know in His time. Well, what do I do in the meantime? You learn, you read God's word, you pray to God, because the time will come, God will show you how important you are to others and to His ministry. Now, as many of you know, the great purpose in our life actions and all, those actions are logged in a book we call the Holy Bible. Now, we're in the day of technology. I have the Bible on my computer. I sit and read it sometimes most of the day and will study with it. I have it on my cell phone, and I read the scripture on my phone. When I preach a sermon, I have pages that has the scripture on it that are large font, so I don't have to bring the book up here. And God says, I want you, though, to understand something. What is going on in your life is not foreign to Him. What is going on in your life, we have seen from year after year with different people, different names, but yet the problems seem to be about the same. Well, on all of our focuses, first of all, we focused on attendance. Because this is 2014, our year of commitment at Vine Grove Baptist Church. Meaning, let's look at the focuses in God's book that tells us what we need to be doing in order. Doesn't mean that life's not going to be hard. Listen, folks, when you said yes to Jesus Christ, all hell's cut loose on you. You will see problems in your life that you never imagined you would ever have. And God is using those problems, those circumstances, those situations to build you for the great finale. As Moses, in his great finale was, he was going up to the mountain. And as he sent Joshua. As he sent Joshua across to be the leader, Moses went to the mount, and the scripture says, and God buried him. Now, that was a funeral, wasn't it? What a blessing. But he had completed the task and the ministry that God had called him to. See, leaving this world, folks, is a blessing for the Christian. Getting out of this body that seems to keep breaking down every time we turn around, and God says, I'm going to give you a new body. I'm going to have you in my presence. Now, what about that promise is there that you don't like? What is in the promise that God makes to us that we shall never die and we'll always be with Him if we've accepted His Son as Lord and Savior? What promise there do we not like or do we not believe? God says, I want you to learn from me. I told you, you have to come together as Christians. We are the body of Christ. Once again, and as I'll do this once again many times through this year, here I am, a human being. The Holy Spirit of God is standing here. When I say yes to Jesus Christ, then the Holy Spirit encompasses me, Jesus in me and in you, and we become a master link, meaning we are a link for the master. We link together, and we form the chain of God, His church. And God said, I will give you every type of personality. I'll give you every situation that you can imagine. I will build my church Preacher, don't you try doing it. Let me send whosoever will, and that will represent my body. So in prayer, we sought through God's wisdom, his wisdom for our life. But now we come to the Bible. Again, I don't care what type of Bible you have, meaning whether you have it on your iPad, iPod, or anything else, as long as it is the Holy Word of God. Read it. And as you read it, God will open up a whole new world for you. You see, there's a special place in this world and a special calling for each individual. What God has called me to do, nobody else can do. What God has called you to do, nobody else can do. God called us. So if I don't do it, then that part's left out. Does that mean then that if I didn't lead somebody to Christ, that person goes to hell and that's on me? No. It means that God will send somebody else, but he won't send the same personality. God says you're important as an individual. We need to understand that. So once I understand it and once I say yes that I believe it, then why would I not read the rule book for life, the rule book for eternity? It's called the Holy Bible. Why would I not pick up God's word to see where I fit and allow his word to speak to me? God says, I want to touch your heart. I want you to understand how much I truly love you. So in the Bible reading focus, have setting up here, Faye made these up for me. These are bookmarks. I want you to have one. And I want you to use it in the right book when you get it. It's called the Bible. If you don't have a Bible, the preacher will give you one. And it doesn't matter. Look at the Holy Bible. You read it because there is a message in there for you. And that message is special. You'll look at it and you'll show it to a friend. But you and I have to understand. Oh, and you all have to understand this too because I see them smiling. In the old days, you all remember when Tab came out to drink. Tab would come out, and I was doing just fine because I love those things. And I would drink one down at the church, you know, and I couldn't remember anything. I mean, I didn't know who anybody was. I thought, dude. Then later on, what did I hear? The drinking Tabs will affect your memory. So I quit drinking them, changed to water. Been the safest thing I've had since. But I used to could look at people and I not have any idea. I know who you are in my heart, but my mind hasn't the slightest idea. God looks at you and God looks at me in his special way. Do you understand how special you are to him? You are a special person to be used in the special mission that God has created you for. God says, I love you. Take my book and read it. Pick up my book and I want you to follow the guidelines. And when you pick up my book and follow the guidelines, you will find your path in life. I will show you your path. You won't have to find it on your own. I will tell you who you are in the realm of heaven. You won't have to worry about who you are. You won't have to go out here and drive around the country trying to find yourself. God will show you yourself, and God will show you yourself by Holy Spirit power and will show you what the Holy Spirit can do in your life. God said, I love you. I didn't want you to be born and want you grow up to destroy you. I watched you to be born and watched you growing up as I can give you direction for your life because I have a purpose. You see, when I, as a Christian, understand that I have a purpose and God's everlasting joy, I don't care what that purpose is. God knows the purpose. Have you ever been in a situation and you think, boy, I wished I was not here. I don't belong here. I wished I wasn't here. Yet then you understand as you meet people that smile will come across your face and you'll understand this is exactly where I need to be. Way too many people are running from God. So this next series I'm focusing on doing business with God. Doing business with God. It's called work. Work makes a lot of people nervous. When you mention the word work, individuals get so nervous that sometimes they are afraid to even listen about the stories about anybody who has worked. Work is important in your life. And God says, I want you to do business with me, but I do not want you giving me the business. I don't want you pretending you're one thing and you're not. I want you to listen to my voice, says God. And I want you to hear my voice well. I want you to understand that it is my love that gives you strength. It is my love that gives you that power to overcome whatever obstacle is in your way as a Christian. My obligation to God is to take off running when he says run. God's obligation is to make sure there's a hole there when I get there. All in between is faith. You and I, as doing business with God, need to look at how he has set his world up and how he has set us up as the greatest of his creation. It says here, I want you to work. I want you to work so that your family can eat. Listen to this scripture. Six purposes of work. Purpose number one, the most basic motivation for work is necessity. But listen to the scripture. Proverbs 12:11. The one who stays on the job has food on the table. That's a good one, isn't it? 1 Timothy 5:8. If anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. It really bothers people. Whoever doesn't want to work shouldn't be allowed to eat. You know, the Word of God is pretty tough. And this has nothing to do with those people who are disabled and can't work. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with a world that is demanding someone else to feed them while they play. Proverbs 13:4. Lazy people want much but get little. But those who work hard will prosper and be satisfied. What's going to satisfy me and what's going to satisfy you? I want you to think about something. You and I, filled with the Holy Spirit as Christians, you and I are to be, allow ourselves to be led by the Holy Spirit, right? That's in the book called the Bible. Therefore, as I'm reading the scripture and as I'm reading God's promise, and whosoever will, let him come, and looking at the stories that God has placed in there for a purpose, because in one of those stories, at least, there is your life. And when you read his holy book, you will find your life. You will find the hurt that's going on within your life. You will see the joy that is going on within your life. But we live today in a culture, and I don't know about the other ancient cultures. I'm sure it comes one right after the other. But we're in a culture within our churches as to where we say, we no longer need to do business with God. We need to make sure that we reach out and bring people to a good facility that will always house them and help them as they struggle in life. That sounds good, doesn't it? Without Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, there's no power. Without Christ in your heart, there's no power. Without the love of Jesus, when you greet someone, there's no power. Without the love of Christ and the power of Almighty God, there's no hope. There's no hope for the church as the church continues to slide right off the mountain of life. Because the Christians are not about their Father's business. We're about everybody else's. And God says, do business with me. I work for God. As a Christian, you work for God. And God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get right out there and I want you to get face to face with all of hell and what it brings. Lord, what about me getting out there with your angels? I feel a lot more comfortable. That's not the real world, is it? You know, it sounds good when someone will talk to you and get you all boosted up and you with emotional thoughts and all of this. But folks, you and I live in the real world. And the real world is not fair. The real world is not balanced. The real world could care less about your children. And the real world, all the real world wants to do is pull your child, pull you away from the name of Jesus Christ. What's going on throughout the world? How soon will it come to America? Sharia law? What's going to happen? Is a Christian nation, one nation under God, going to bow a knee to idols? And have we already done it? I'm not doing business with God when I'm doing business with the world. I am not doing business with God when I accept the world's philosophy of life. People say, well, philosophy is good. Yes, I majored in psychology. And every person I learned about it had a horrible life. Freud, Adler, it didn't matter. Carl Gustav Jung, all of them were failures in life. And I had professors saying, you need to learn this. Why? I can be a failure on my own. God has called us to a purpose, and that purpose is listed in His holy word called the Bible. Your individual purpose, it's just not for the graduates. It's for every human being. Every day I'm given a new opportunity to do something for God. Every night I'm given an opportunity to be in prayer with God. During the day, I'm given the opportunity to pray continually. Continually given the opportunity to read God's word. What excuse am I going to have when God says, Larry, I was talking to you through my word. Well, Lord, I didn't have my Bible with me. Do you have your phone? Do you have your iPad? iPod? And all the others? Did you have it? You have my word on it. I made sure that you'd have the opportunity. Did you read it? You see, God already knows the answers. He's going to see whether or not I'm going to lie. And you know, our life, as far as walking with Christ, shows more about our truthfulness than our words ever will. I'm doing business with God. And God says, Larry, when you're doing business with me, it is nobody else's business as how I call you to walk that path that I've given for you. Neither, Larry, is it your business how God has called another Christian to walk that path that only that personality will be able to even understand. God says, I love you. I love you so much that I sent my only begotten Son. When you said yes to Him, I sealed your life with my Holy Spirit. I've guaranteed for you, Larry, eternal life with me. But now, we have God's business to be doing here on earth. I haven't left yet. One day I will. I'll fly away. I'm just waiting for my ride. Sooner or later, doesn't matter to me. When God sends the ride, I'm going. But think of that. I say that I'm doing business with God, and yet I'm not about God's business. I'm only about God's business on Sunday. Even then, I'm in a hurry. Don't get in such a hurry to be in life until you've received some of life's training in your heart. Be careful with yourself. Be careful with the word that God has given you. All of us are ministers. I used to have that trouble at the jail as chaplain, and people would come in and I said, are you a minister of the gospel? Are we not all ministers? And I would say, no, you ain't coming in. I could always tell. We are all ministers, but we in our calling as ministers of the gospel need to make sure that we as individuals are listening to God in our ministry and that we haven't taken it out of his hands. I just know if I can come in there and tell this guy about Christ. How long you known him? His whole life. Did you ever tell him while he was out? Never got a chance to. Why didn't you invite him into your church then? He's too rough. And not only that, preacher, it's your job to go down there and save them, not mine. That's not doing business with God. I don't know what your business is with God. From one day to the next, I don't even know what my business is with God. But I do know this. When I read the Holy Word of God, I understand as I read, which is my spiritual food. That's my spiritual food. And if I do not do business with God and work the words of God, I don't deserve to eat. I don't deserve to understand. When God says, look at my word, I get under conviction. God calls me to that particular work, and then I refuse to do it. Because I can use that gift and make more money? Have I not just stepped in the blood of Christ? Have I not backed away from doing business with God to being business partners with the world? God said, you don't work, you don't eat. Folks, for me to eat spiritually, it's to read the Word of God. That's the food. Is it not? It's not the bread. Is it not every word that proceeds from the mouth of God? Is that not my food? And if I do not deliver the blessings from being full on God's food for the day, do you just eat once a day? Three times a day? Four times a day? Get up at midnight and decide to do it again? Think of it. If we were to be that anxious to be fed by the Word of God, and every waking moment we're looking at His Word, before we lay down, we thank Him for His Word. That is the food for life. You won't find the truth of life anywhere else but in the Word of God. The truth is there for you and for me. And as God says, this is my truth, I want you to use it and use it wisely. That means you don't use it, you don't eat. You got it? Why would God bless me with more faith if I don't use the faith He's already given me? See, God looks at our lives as individuals. Well, Lord, if I just had more faith. Why, Larry, you're not using what I gave you. Yeah, but Lord, the faith that you gave me to do this thing over here, it sounds to me like, Lord, you want me to be locked up in a prison as a chaplain for 30 years. Yeah, I do, Larry. Well, what happened with the First Baptist Church of Hawaii? This is your First Baptist Church of Hawaii. Think of it. Doing business with God. It is God's business. My life is God's business. Your life as a Christian should be God's business. We should read the Word. We should look at it closely. Because in the words of God, He not only lets us read them in our mind, He said, I will place my Word in your heart. And then from your heart, you will love. You will reach out to whosoever will. Whosoever will is God's will. But if I'm doing business with the world, if I'm doing business out there for myself, I cannot be doing business with God. I can give you this word too. If you will not serve the Lord here on earth, if you will not be about the Father's business here on earth, you will certainly not be about His business in heaven in eternity. If you refuse to follow His leadership on earth, why would you think that you'll be in His leadership when you leave? Those are the individuals that pop a pill so they don't have to deal with reality. Or drink a half a pint of whiskey, morning, noon, and night, to break from reality. But then you know what happens? We wake up. The problems are still there. The hurt, the pain's still there. And then we learn that morning that there's even more hurt, there's even more pain that we have brought on ourselves. God said, get in business with me. I'll make you fishers of men. I'll give you the direction for your life as an individual. You won't have to go find yourself. I'll show you yourself. And once God shows us ourself, we're ready. Lord, I just really didn't know I looked that bad. I really didn't know how bad sin truly looks. You want to know how bad sin looks? Look in the mirror. You want to see sin in action? Look in your own life. All of us are sinners, saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. I got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. I have a Savior who died for me. And He said, now Larry, here's what I want you to do. I want you to stand and I want you to proclaim my truth. Oh, and by the way, Larry, as you're standing proclaiming my truth, remember this. They will do to you exactly what they did to me. I'm not telling you that you'll have the power because you're a Marine. I'm telling you, you got the power because you got me. You got Jesus' power. The name that all the world wants to blot out of the books, Jesus. Now, don't you dare as a chaplain pray in the name of Jesus. Well, I'm going to pray in the name of Jesus. Lock me up for it. I'll enjoy that revival. Think of it. Push the name Jesus out. Push God away. And the world walks in. Not only to the churches, but into the heart of the believers. Folks, you and I, we are the church. We're the master links individually hooked together to make a difference in this world. But I can only make a difference through the Word of God. Not through the word of the world. Every time I would look at a human being and take my eyes off Jesus, I'd fall flat, which was a blessing. Because when Jesus lifts you up, and when Jesus catches you on that bounce, when you're so broken, you're so hurt, and you say, Lord, are you through with me? And Larry, I'll let you know when I'm through with you. Shut up and let them cut on you again. You know, it's just amazing to me how life goes. We can be in a hospital bed, a surgeon standing right there over, looking at the rest of us in our face and saying, look, All I've got to do right now, I'm just trying to keep her alive. And everything cut open and towels laying on the intestines and all. And God said, get that physician out of the way. Larry, would you get back, pray, and let me take care of that woman. Thank you, Lord. Appreciate it. There she is. What about those individuals that refuse to have an abortion? Why? There's a special call in their heart. God says, don't. That's my child. God looks at you and me as a warrior. I fought in foreign wars. Not nearly as much as the majority of my church. But you see, the war, when you come back, is a war like you're not used to. It's the war that Satan will war against you. You're not worthy. You're not fit. Well, I already knew that. I read the book. But Jesus made it right. Jesus cleansed me. And when Jesus cleansed me, he said, I will bring out my nature. And my nature is love. My nature is understanding. My nature is power and strength. Proclaim the word, lift the truth, and watch the world change to where every knee will bow at the name of Jesus Christ, my son. You'll never go anywhere as a Christian that Jesus is not there, because he's in you. When you said yes to him, Christ is in you. You are the temple, not this building. You are the mouthpiece, not this building. You and I link together as brothers and sisters in Christ, powered by Holy Spirit, strengthened by the love of God. That's why God said, pray for your enemies. Because they're in big time trouble, folks. They're messing with you. They're in trouble with God. Pray for them. Yet many of us, even your pastor, sometimes are hesitant to pray until you see them dangle for a little bit. Isn't that human nature? That jumps right in. You've got to deal with this every day. It's reality. God understands our reality. God understands you. See, how many people in, don't raise your hands, please. How many people in here would say, I don't really know who I am? Think of that. I really don't know who I am in Christ. Well, who you been asking? Well, Uncle Jim, Uncle Bob, Aunt Lucy, Gertrude, and all the others. Well, they didn't call you. How about talking to God? When Jesus went to that cross, he looked at you and me. Oh, but we weren't in existence. Exactly. God knew our name. But not only that, God knew the name that he would write in our heart that only he would know. That individual is worthy because that individual had been washed by the blood of the Lamb. That individual has been called by me. Therefore, watch out, world, for I release to you in the name of Jesus, my son, the truth. And the world says, we don't want to hear that. We want to feel good. If you deal with the truth, I might not feel good. If I deal with the truth in my own life, it's not easy to admit you're a mess. Day after day, we have the cases of the stupid stuff where we do things and we can't believe we did it. And yet, as Christ looks at us, I want to leave you with this. When Jesus Christ saw me as a young boy, and I prayed from the love that he gave me as a child, when he looked at me and said, "Larry, I accept you into my kingdom." When he said that to me and to you, he knew all the dumb stuff we're going to do later. And he saved us anyway. You got that? He knew I was going to mess up. He knew that I was going to be a Marine. He knew that in the first gunfight I was going to freeze. That's why he sent the lieutenant to drag me around out of fire. I always think back to what Jesus said about Peter. And when he told the women, he said, "You go back and you tell the disciples and Peter." Here's what he told her to tell him. "Tell Peter, when he comes to his senses, to come and be with me." Forgiveness, love, power, authority. We are links. Folks, we can't afford to miss a link. We can't afford any longer to watch the name of Jesus Christ be stomped in the mud of the world. If the stomping has to come, then let the Christian stand and say so. Throughout the world, except in the United States of America, as of right now, Christians are being persecuted. Do you know all they have to do to save their own life? Convert to Islam, and we'll let you live. And they're saying no. No. Would we do that? Will we do it if it comes, and as it's coming? Will we? Or will we stand up and say, "Without Christ, I can do nothing. He saved me. He saved me." The blessing of life. I don't have to go look for myself. Through Christ, I know who I am. God touches the heart. He touches the very being of who you are. Allow that touch to be a continual part of your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to come into your presence. For the truth, Father, that only you can give us. Touch each heart, Father. Give us the boldness and the courage to stand strong and true in your name. For your word, thank you for your Son. Thank you for your love. Now, Father, help us to be the children you've called us to be. And bless us as we read your holy word. We ask those blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.